We're continuing this series called Living Whole. This is kind of falling off, so I'll just stick it over here. It's called Living Whole. What it is, the idea is, if you've read some of Paul's works, and there's other instances in the New Testament as well, but there's these, at the end of his letters, generally what he'll do is he'll kind of list off, oh, don't forget, and he's got these, all these things that are important for that church and for them to just hold on to the faith, that, to be strong. And so what this series is all about is, if God were speaking to us, and he is, what would the items be for abundant life? If God was writing us, the Church of Abundant Life, this letter. And so Pastor Jim and Pastor Glenn have done a great job with the first two items, identity and receiving from the Lord. And today we're going to hear about hearing from God. Actually, you're going to receive. And I am looking forward to it. There's really not a better time for it at the moment, because I don't know if you've noticed, the world is in unrest. It's hard to say of what is going on in Gaza and Israel. Are we getting close to Jesus' return? I don't know. I don't have to worry about that, because I know what Jesus came to do here on earth was to establish his kingdom, right? We're not to worry. There's plenty of scripture that tells us not to worry, but we're going to continue the job that Jesus started, which is to establish his kingdom here on earth. And you can't establish his kingdom if you're not receiving from the Lord, if you're not hearing from him. And so we're going to talk today a bit about that, and why it's so important to pray for Israel also. There's just a lot going on, but one thing we need to remember is we don't need to fear. Amen? All right, let me ask you a question. I'm curious, because I know what the answer is for me, but when you're interacting with a colleague at work, maybe in the Silicon Valley, or maybe just around here in general, maybe it's in high school, yeah, probably high school too, high school, college, if you ask someone, hey, how's it going? What is typically the response you get back? Fine, good. Okay. All right, that's good. But let's move into a business context now. If I say, hey, how's it going? What do you typically hear? Busy. Busy. That's it, right? Every time I ask somebody, hey, how's it going? Oh, it's busy. It's real busy. Real busy. And I'm curious, has anyone ever heard anyone ever say, actually, I got some extra time on my hands. I'm not sure what's going on, but I'm feeling pretty good. Life's going well. Has anyone ever said that to you in a work context? Were you talking to Don Zonick? All right. Because I think he would be the one that would probably say that more so than anyone else. I've never heard it. And I think here's the reason why. We perpetuate this lie that busyness equates to success, to happiness, but it's fueled by greed and pride. Because we want to be the best. And let me amend that statement. We don't want to be the best. We want to be better than others. Yeah? Is that true? Like, I don't want to be the best. I just need to be better than you. And I think there's an underlying reason as to why that is. And it starts when you're young. Because you really don't feel good enough yourself. So if I just work hard enough, if I'm acknowledged, I'm good, I'm doing a good job, then I feel good about it. I'm more satisfied with myself. See, I didn't feel good enough. I moved from one good high-tech company to another. I felt I'd continue climbing this ladder, and all the while loving the ministry that I was able to be a part of. And I got busy, very busy. So busy that I broke down. My joy, my work vanished. I kept comparing myself to others. I was worried about the job I was doing, why I wasn't advancing, why I wasn't figuring things out. God, what are you doing? Why did you put me in this pit? I was being lied to as well. Jesus didn't put me in that pit. He's there to pull me out of it. And it took hearing God's voice really to finally figure that out. And you're going to hear his voice today too. You know the story of Mary and Martha? Who knows that story? All right. Some of us, a few of us. It's found in Luke. If you have your Bibles here today, if you'd open up to Luke chapter 10. I identify with Martha. I'll just set it up right now. She's a hard worker. She works hard. She wants things done right for the Lord. So what's going to happen is Jesus is coming to Martha and Mary's house. Mary and Martha are sisters. What would happen if Jesus came to your house? Number one, it's like, put away the crap. Put it all away. Can't show him what's going on there. We live great, Lord. It's super clean here. That's what Mary was, or that was Martha was, that's what she was doing. So I don't blame her for doing that. So we're going to read Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. Now, as they went on their way, I forgot to mention too. Another aspect of Martha and me is that sometimes she gets a little irritated when some people aren't carrying their weight. Does anybody else get that way? When you're like, I kind of wish. It's like, you see me doing stuff, right? Are you not? Okay, I continue. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. Typical Mary. Mary, you see me? I'm working. What you doing? But Martha was distracted with much serving. Nothing wrong with that, right? She's serving. She wants to get things ready for the Lord. She went up to Jesus and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. That seems reasonable, right? But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you're anxious. You're troubled about many things. One thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which won't be taken away from her. Key into Jesus' response here in the last two sentences. He says, Martha, Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is necessary, and Mary has chosen the good portion, which won't be taken away from her. Jesus is saying the good portion was Mary's decision to sit and listen to him. And if you're taking notes, that's the first major fill in the blank. I use fill in the blank because it's fun. Jesus is saying the good portion was Mary's decision to sit and listen to him. Now, Jesus is inherent. He's not saying that working hard is inherently wrong. What he was correcting was doing things out of state of worry or anxiety. He's also urging us a better priority. To first listen to him, spend time in his presence, and allow him to lead us before we engage in our daily tasks. But see, this contradicts our entire culture here. It's absolute foolishness to do that here because we elevate those who keep themselves super busy with constant activity, acts of service. Why do I know that? Because that's what we love to say. I'm always busy, 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 doing it all. But see, Jesus valued Mary's choice, where she devoted her time to sit at his feet and be present with him. She made the wise choice. So we also must choose to rest in his presence. We must choose to rest in his presence. And this teaching resonates with the Psalms. In Psalm 127, verse 2, it says, it is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. Psalm 37, 7 says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Over the man who is busy. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for him. See, working constantly without rest, even if it's for the kingdom, doesn't yield the peace and the true rest that we seek. Working constantly without rest, even for the kingdom, doesn't yield the peace and true rest that we seek. In fact, it's selfish. It's evil. It's deadly because it's driven by selfish motives, not God's motives. God's not telling you to do that. We need to decide to truly seek rest with the Lord. Because you won't discover true rest if you don't make time to encounter him. You just won't. Martha demonstrates this beautifully. She's in the presence of the living God, God in flesh, Jesus. Anxious, worried, troubled. She's in his presence. So it's just a reminder to some of you that think, if I just go to church once a week, I'll be good. That's a lie. How many of you, in a half hour after church, you're like, I completely forgot what that sermon was about? Oh, be honest. Yeah, thank you. Your peace is gone. It requires us to constantly do this, right? Martin Luther once said, work, work from early morning to late at night. In fact, I have so much to do, I shall have to spend the first 3 hours in prayer. Does that make sense? Is that logical? To God, it is. Jesus revealed true wisdom when he said in Matthew chapter 6, in the Beatitudes, in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 31. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? The Gentiles seek after all those things, and your heavenly Father knows. He knows you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things, all those things that you worry about, will be added unto you, but in the proper order. Not maybe the way you want it, but in the way God knows will be best for you. When I faithfully sought his kingdom first, spent time in his presence, heard from him, I found peace and joy throughout my day. And I will say, remarkably, these impending deadlines at work that I'm like, well, this week is going to stink. These deadlines coincidentally extend. And it's weird how it happens. I don't know. It doesn't always, but most of the time, I'll tell you, when I seek the Lord, spend time with him, not worry, I don't have to worry about it. God takes care of it. Now, that doesn't mean we're spending time, we're like, I'm just going to sit here at work with the Lord. No, you got to work at times, right? But you spend time with him first. Get your head straight. Follow him, and then we go in. The solutions to complex problems that I can't solve begin to just kind of come up in my mind. It's like my troubles are being parted like the Red Sea. It makes absolutely no sense. In the eyes of man, it's foolishness. Yet choosing to first rest in the Lord in the face of a busy day is godly wisdom. To our human eyes, it may seem foolish to spend time seeking the Lord's presence instead of immediately going and tackling our to-do list. But this path reflects God's wisdom. Seeking him and his leading allows the Lord space to do the impossible in your life. We've got to choose to rest. And this is the profound mystery of God's grace. It doesn't make sense, and it can't. Miracles rarely do. God made you to find rest in him. Yeah? See, he made you to find rest in him. But it gets even better. Not only does he want you to find rest in him in his presence, he wants to speak to you as well. He made you to hear his voice. And he made you to hear it for a few reasons. First reason, he loves you. And he wants to make it known to you. Now, I would imagine that many of you want to believe, oh, can't put my hand there. Many of you want to believe that he does, but in the quiet, in the lonely places of the day, when we're honest with God, we oftentimes don't believe he truly does care for us. I've spoken to many of you. I myself have said that. And it's generally when you're going through a trial, when the question comes up, God, what are you doing? Don't you care that I'm in this situation? God, why did my brother die? He's young. But he does care for you. And at times we're comfortable believing a lie. In Psalm 139, verses 17 through 18, it talks about God having as many good thoughts about you as the grains of sand in the sea. And because we've got college students here, yes, someone did calculate the number of grains of sand in the sea in this earth. 7.5 times 10 to the 18th power. It's 18 zeros. 7 quintillion, 500 quadrillion grains, approximately. God wants to make these thoughts known to you. He dances over you. He sings over you. He rejoices over you. He loves you and wants to remind you of it. And while he loves you, he also desires to reveal his truth to you. Jeremiah 33:3, that says so well put, call to me, it says, and I will answer you. I will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Isaiah 30:31 says, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right or turn to the left. There are so many lies the Lord wants to correct with his truth in our lives. But we have to give him the space to do so. Because see, that thought of, God, I'm not sure you love me. It's a lie. And if you don't give him space to tell you so, you're going to continue believing that lie. Why would you not? You've read God's word. You know what it says there, but your experience tells you something different. Give God time to speak to you. From my childhood up until about a year or two ago, when I've kind of heard this teaching, my experience of hearing God was really through Scripture. It was, you know, that inner sense while you're reading it, and you're like, oh, that's good. That's from the Lord right there. Because you just kind of, there's like a spotlight on some of that Scripture that I read. I don't know if that happens to you. It does for me. You know, at times I'd hear from the others saying, you know, some others saying that the Lord wanted to encourage me with something, so I'd hear maybe through someone else. Or I'd see a situation and think, whoa, that must be from the Lord. But that was really it. I haven't gotten pictures. Some of you get pictures from the Lord. Some of you see visions. I'd love to see the visions. My dreams, I promise you, there is no God giving me anything in dreams. They're weird. I know some of you get dreams. But not me. Sometimes I just kind of thought, you know, and I'll hear things through maybe sometimes through songs, and I'm sure some of these things you probably relate with. But I really wanted to hear his voice. I wanted to know he was speaking to me. I just didn't know how I could. Is there anyone in that space today? This will require some honesty. Yeah. Yeah. And I would imagine many others. I needed to learn how to hear his voice. And this is such an important step for all believers. Because not only does he want to tell you he loves you and reveal his truth, but God wants to transform you. He wants to transform you. In Revelation 3, verse 20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and eat with him, and he with me. And when you hear from the Lord, you're not the same. When Jesus comes to dine with you, everything changes. Amen. Everything changes. You're no longer Martha. You're now Mary. See, listen to that scripture, and Pastor Glenn did a great job last week about this too. Jesus is waiting for our response. He's there. Right? And often we miss it. We're like, oh God, I'd love to spend time with you. I got up late, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to start driving, and then while I'm driving, trying to figure out traffic, I'm going to try to pray with you. Yeah, oh yeah. Some of this message today is going to hurt. I hope it does. Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to concentrate on cars coming at me at 50 miles an hour. And Lord, I'm going to wait in your presence. often we miss out with communion with him. Jesus didn't come just to change our behavior. He came to bring life and transform us from the inside out. And when we respond to the voice of Jesus, we're transformed. And that dialogue between us, you and the Lord, begins by asking questions. It's a method I've learned, and our leadership team has learned as well, and you've probably heard it discussed in the last year or so, called listening prayer, that you're going to learn today. There is nothing mystical about this. It's simply just another way to think about prayer time. It's not a gimmick. And so I want to just pull all that out right now, because I know maybe for some of you, as we're going to walk through, you're like, oh, here we go, mysticism or something. I don't know. I'm not sure what you're thinking. I would never walk you through something that was not from the Lord. But it's a process that's been so helpful for me that it's changed my life. And I want to walk you through it. Listening prayer is the free flow of thoughts that comes to us when our mind is fixed on Jesus. That's all it is. It's the free flow of thoughts when our mind that come to us when our mind is fixed on Jesus. And it begins by asking questions. And that listening is sustained through listening and responding. So it begins by asking questions, and it's sustained through listening and responding. God is our model for how that works. Let's go all the way back to the Garden of Eden. God asked Adam several questions. Where are you? Who told you you were naked? Did you eat of the fruit? And do you think God knew the answers to those questions? Of course he did. Of course he did. He was asking to build relationship. He was asking to go deeper. Because a question is really an invitation to a deeper revelation. I love that line. It's not mine, but I used it. A question is really an invitation to a deeper revelation. Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And they would respond. But then he goes deeper. But who do you say that I am? Asking questions gives God space to speak to us. Most of the time, we don't give him a chance. While we're driving, we list our needs. Needs that likely we probably haven't even asked him about. You might be saying, I don't want to give you that. That's a terrible idea. We haven't spent time with him. And then we fall prey to that lie. We got to get moving. Got to check my boxes. Got to get my to-do list going. I don't have time for this. I don't have time to sit for the Lord. Hearing and focusing on Jesus is a practice. It's going to take time, because I get it. For some of you, you're like, ugh, I sit there and I get nothing. So why do it? You need to learn to do it. And initially, you may hear just maybe a word or a phrase. You may hear similar themes each day for a while. But don't give up. That was how it happened to me, and I'll just give you briefly my process. I start in the morning, and I have this little prayer I go through. It's called the prayer of affirmation. It's helpful for me just to know that my Lord loves me. And if you'd like it, talk to me afterwards. I'd love to send it to you. In it, there are two questions. The first is, Lord, how do I stand firm against the scheme of the enemy in my life today? And I wait and listen. And then I ask him again, Lord, I want all that you have for me today. What do you want me to know about today? And then I listen. Then I go through my devotion time, I'm reading my Bible, I get my notes down, I write thoughts. Then I ask him again, Lord, what do you want me to know about this scripture today? Let the thoughts come to my mind, and then I write it down. And it started with, the first time it was just a word or two, and I'd write it down. And oddly enough, as I write it down, then something else comes like, oh, I'll get that down too. But There are times when it's just a word. That's okay. See, we got to learn in the quiet, learn in the simple, in order to be able to handle it in the chaos of a busy day. Because when something critical is coming up, your daughter just gets into an accident, and you need to know what to do. God, help. You need to be able to hear his voice. Otherwise, you're going to do things on your own strength. Which sometimes works out okay. But I promise you, it's so much better when you hear from the Lord through it. This process of hearing his voice, it's like adjusting to the right radio frequency. For those of you who know that. For you, Gen Zers? Who have absolutely no idea what I'm talking about. It's like connecting to the right Wi-Fi frequency. So you get the really good signal. It takes dialing in and hearing and but it takes practice. It takes practice. We've got to keep doing it. And finally, you'll be able to hear through all the noise. You'll be able to hear his voice. Because learning in the quiet, it's going to prepare us to hear his voice during stressful moments. Moments when we call on the Lord for wisdom and we need to hear him. So let me walk you through some practical ways to start this process in the quiet. Step number one, quiet yourself. Okay? This is going to be super hard for you youth. Us adults have done you a pretty massive disservice. Your life is full of distraction. It's full of this, ping, ping, ping. Look at this, look at this, look at this. Look, information, go, go, go. Where you almost have an addiction to it. And you adults as well. You got to quiet yourself. Keep your mind quiet. Maybe repeat that phrase, be still and know that that he is God. Make it possible to be still. For me, I'll turn on instrumental music. I generally try to have something that I don't know the melody of. I'll just put on something so I don't be like, oh, I know that song. If I do, I'm like, skip. But I've got a little playlist that I have that's great for me. I just need something to distill all the different noises that I can hear. And then I'm like, whoa, squirrel, what's that? So if that helps you, great. Maybe bring a candle. Find a quiet space, a place where you can be alone, just with you and your thoughts. But maybe you can't find a quiet space. I've spoken to a few of you where it seems like an impossibility. You're in a living situation where you just can't get away. It reminds me of a story of Susanna Wesley. I'm not sure if you heard the story. Susanna Wesley, you may not know that name, but you would know her sons, John and Charles Wesley. Yeah. Great evangelist for Britain, writer of many songs, hymns, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. You know those. Susanna Wesley, while her 10 children were all around her, reading, studying, playing, 10 children. In a confined space. She'd sit in a chair, sometimes in the kitchen, have her apron, flip it over her head, and she'd just start praying. She would pray for 2 hours every day amongst the chaos that 10 kids can take on at home. She was able to focus. So maybe that's your spot. You've got to be a Susanna Wesley. Find a way. Whatever your apron is, maybe it's, noise-canceling headphones or something. Find a space. Use your imagination. It's frustrating that our imagination has been almost claimed. Every time we talk about using your imagination, maybe in the context, you might think like mysticism or meditation, or you're like, whoop, that's evil, can't do that. Your imagination is not evil. Let's just get there right now. It's not. God's given you an imagination. He can speak to you in your imagination. It's beautiful. That's where you have these thoughts that free you. And so I want to invite you, and we're going to use our imagination today. Because it is a gift from God. We're going to claim it back and to use it for the Lord as he intended. And so what we're going to do is we're going to imagine a beautiful place. Pastor Jim went through this a couple weeks ago. A place that has zero fear, zero worry, zero shame, and zero guilt. A place that is beautiful. And whatever that is for you, it could be next to a stream. It could be on a mountaintop. It could be on an ocean side. Find a place that's beautiful, that is the definition of love and peace and joy. And then you bring Jesus in to this context. Bring him in to this imagination. And when we focus on Jesus, we simultaneously silence the enemy. We stand in authority when we rely on Jesus. When he is in this place, enemy, be silent. Picture Jesus however he wants to come to you in your mind. And we picture Jesus because he's the physical representation of an invisible God. I don't know what God looks like. I don't know what Jesus looks like, but I can picture him. And right now he kind of looks like the guy from The Chosen. Just to be honest. A little fuzzy, so his face isn't there. But yeah, it's like, that's fine. It's good faith, you know. Then as you quiet yourself, focus on Jesus, you ask, wait, and listen. Ask your question. Wait and listen to what the Lord will say. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. And I lied previously, Pastor Glenn didn't preach about that last verse. He preached about this verse. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. If you don't ask, you'll never hear. Ask your question. Wait and listen to what the Lord will say. And be mindful of anything that comes to mind. The moment you ask, thoughts. You're going to have images, thoughts, ideas, impressions. Start writing them down. Start writing it down. And here was a powerful lesson for me. Because I wanted to hear his voice so bad. But in my mind, when I wanted to hear Jesus, I was expecting like Jesus' voice. Like, hey, Sean. You know, right? Something different than my voice in my head. And I'm like, I'm listening for it. Nope, that's not it. Nope, that's not it. Oh, that's pretty much me. That's what I was searching for. And I was reminded, you have Christ in you. You have Christ in you. You have his mind, Paul tells us. You have the mind of Christ. So it very well, and it does for me, will sound like your voice in your head. Just will. It does for me, and that's freed up a lot of people. Like, oh, well, then the Lord's been talking to me all the time. It's like, yes, he has. Trust that voice. When we get into that space where our mind is on Jesus, and you start hearing these words, maybe it's scripture, maybe it's just saying something like, be still. Okay, write it down. Don't think about it, just write it down. Use Habakkuk 2:1-3 as a method. It says, I will stand on my guard post and I will keep watch to see what he'll speak to me. Watch and see what he'll speak. And don't be like, all right, God, you got 30 seconds. Let's just do this. Be still. Wait for the revelation. Isaiah 40:31 says, but they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That scripture doesn't say, but they who wait a little bit for the Lord and get moving. See, waiting on the Lord is his terms. We don't work him into our schedule. Everything else in this world revolves around our time with him. And the recommendation I give to anyone I'm speaking to about spending time, the phrase I use is be violent about your time before the Lord. If I have to get up early to do something, maybe I got to leave home at 6:30. I'll get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to spend time with the Lord. I'm not telling you this to be boastful. I'm telling you this because I've asked God, I can't stop listening to your voice. I've got to hear it. Give me the strength today, Lord, because the 5 hours of sleep, I'm feeling pretty crappy. And he does. He does. Because I asked. So we watch to see what he'll speak. We wait for the revelation, and then we write it down. Write down the revelation. because we're forgetful. And writing down helps us remember what the Lord said. And it's oftentimes the first thing that comes to our mind. And we dismiss it because it's like, no, that's too easy. It can't be that. I just heard I love you. What does that mean? Well, maybe he wants to tell you he loves you. Write it down. Maybe it's too tough. That can't be from the Lord. Write it down. Maybe it doesn't make sense. I promise you, a lot of things won't make sense from the Lord. Because Isaiah 55 says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor my ways your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. I promise you, most of the time you'll be like, what? Maybe not most of the time. God's generally fairly courteous with me. Keeps it simple. But at times it might be confusing. Write it down. I have an iPad where I sit because it's easier for me. I can't write worth spit anymore. And so I can't journal. So I sit with my iPad and I kind of type, and it's easier for me. But you do you. Find whether it's a device. And just be careful. Having your phone or something with you and like ding, ding, ding. Find a way where that can't happen. My iPad is a different entity from my phone. I don't receive a whole lot of anything on that. And so I make sure I can focus. But what's most important is that you ask God his definition of the words he gives you. Don't define them yourself. Ask God his definition of those words. Stop allowing our experience to define God and let God define our experience. Now you might be saying, yeah, Pastor Sean, but I hear a lot of things that don't sound like God. Okay, I've got good news for you. Jesus said we can know his voice as well. In John chapter 10, verse 3, he says, and he's talking about the good shepherd, to him the gatekeeper opens, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he's brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They know his voice. Jesus also said in John chapter 8, verse 47, whoever is of God hears the words of God. You were made to know his voice. Okay, Pastor, how do we know it? Good question. I got four filters for you. This is how you can know. This is how you can discern his voice. Ask yourself, firstly, does what I'm sensing align with Scripture? Is it according to his word? If it's like, you know, go murder your neighbor, it's not from the Lord. But you won't get that, I promise. But does it align with his Scripture? Does it align with his word in the entirety of it? Number two, does what I'm hearing align with the character of God? Not like the cool things that he does, but who he is. Is there love? Is there peace? Is there joy in what you're hearing? And does what I'm sensing produce good fruit? Fruit of the Spirit. Does it make you want to produce good fruit? Get to know the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Have those in your head. Know them. Does it elicit that response? And fourth, does my faith community agree that this sounds like God? Now, just to be careful here, it's not a great idea to seek out someone who is, maybe that just you know is a Christian. I would seek out someone that you know hears from the Lord, you know spends time with the Lord, someone who's mature in their faith. Ask them that question. God, just this is what I'm hearing. Does this sound like, you know, talk to a pastor, talk to an elder, talk to a deacon. Because the revelation of the Holy Spirit will lead you to freedom and be energized. The guidance of Satan leads you to bondage. You feel fear, you feel worry, you feel guilt, you feel shame. If any motivation that you're hearing makes you get worried, fearful, feel guilty, or shameful, it is not from the Lord. I promise you that. It is not from him. Eliminate that from your thought. And that's also a recommendation with any decision that you make in life. If you're making it out of fear, worry, guilt, or shame, red flag, red flag. That's a terrible idea because it's not from the Lord. God sometimes puts us in, allows us to be in tough spots to grow our faith. There's plenty of scripture on it. I can tell you about that later. But he promises to be enough in the midst of it. And that enough might just very well be all you can handle, but it will be enough. But don't leave because of fear, worry, guilt, shame. Okay? Hearing from God is freedom. It's joy. It's love. It's blessing. And it's intended for the community. It's intended to be a blessing to others as well. It's not just for you. This is why small groups, we have small groups. This is why we come together on a Sunday to meet so we can encourage each other. I heard something from the Lord today and it helped me. How about, does this help you? You know, be able to speak that out. Hearing from the Lord is our right from God. But if you continue to struggle to hear, there can be some barriers in the way. So let's just cover these barriers. The first one is you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying that if you're not hearing God's voice, then you're not a Christian. I'm saying that if you know he's not your Lord and Savior, God's not obligated necessarily to speak to you. Now, that doesn't mean he won't. Oftentimes he will, but there's no obligation. There's no scripture that says, for those who are unsaved, God will definitely, definitely speak to you. There's no obligation there. If you're seeking him, I promise you he'll be speaking to you. But maybe that's where you're like, I'm just not even walking to the Lord, you know, with the Lord. But yeah, there's a chance that that's a barrier. Second, unforgiveness for yourself or others. If you have unforgiveness for yourself or others, let Mark 11, 25 and 26 be your guide there. Leave everything at the altar and go and reconcile to your brother or sister or yourself. The way you know if there's unforgiveness is when you think about someone and there's fear, anger, guilt, shame. Maybe it's for yourself. Maybe it's for someone else. You're listening to those responses. Take it to the Lord. Relieve yourself of the prison that you're putting yourself in. Pastor Greg's done a great job of teaching about that, so I won't spend a whole lot of time on it. But if you have unforgiveness for yourself or others, that can be a block. And it's likely a daily thing until you can completely forgive someone. Do it daily. For every time that comes up, God, I know what you've done for me. I know you've forgiven me of a great many things, and so I will choose to forgive this individual because of your great love. Forgiveness is our superpower. It is our superpower in Christ. If you have any coveted sin, that's another barrier. Coveted sin is simply sin that you are unwilling to submit to the Lord. That sin is more important than the Lord, so you will willfully do it. If you are willfully sinning in the face of God, he will not speak to you. There's ample scripture there. Why would he? You're in absolute defiance of the Lord. It's not sin that we struggle with that you're like, oh man, I did it again. God, help my anger. No, no, no. That's remorse. Coveted sin, there's no remorse. And finally, not being transparent with the Lord. James 5:16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Confessing your sins, as we've spoken about this a few times in the last year. Remember, confession isn't just saying, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, Lord. Forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. God, I'm sorry for doing this. It is getting to a deeper level where you're telling God the truth. So it's not that you're not just saying, Lord, I'm sorry for looking at porn. You need to go fully a level deeper. Why? Why are you looking at porn? Because your discovery is, what lie are you choosing to believe that's wrong about God? Because the lie for any person, man or woman, a man or woman, that's looking at porn is basically saying, this is more important than you, God. this will satisfy me more than you, God. But why is that? Let's get to that place at least where you're like, because at some point you're going to say, because God, I don't trust that you love me. There. He can start there with you. So confession is so key. And oftentimes I'm not hearing that much from the Lord. It's because I've got to get honest with him. I've told him everything's great, and it's not. And I found that when I think, okay, what am I fearful about? What am I worrying about? Where is there shame? Where is there guilt? Those are my identifiers where I'm like, okay, oh, here's the scenario. Sorry, Lord, I'm fearful here. God, why? I'm fearful at work because I think that you're not going to provide for me. I think that if I lose my job, I'll have nothing. And then God reminds me, which is repentance, where he speaks truth into my confession and says, Sean, do you remember where I've been faithful to you? Do you remember all the times that I've taken you and lifted you up? And I remember, yes, yes, Lord, you have been faithful. You were always true. You're the only one who's true. And then transformation, confession, repentance, transformation. Transformation is simply me just beginning to receive that from the Lord and walking in it. Okay, God, I'm not going to worry now today at work. I'm going to have joy because you're with me. Because transformed people are free. Stop living in bondage. Stop living in a pit. Stop believing the lies of Satan. Stop living in fear, worry, guilt, or shame. Now, if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you can live free right now. Right now. And hear him speak to you. And we're going to in a moment. I'm going to use this dwell time to walk you through. And I pray that you all can stay. We'll still end on right around the same time we normally do. But I want to walk through some of these barriers very quickly to get us prepared. Okay? First barrier. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you want to reconcile that today. I'm going to invite you right now to solve that problem. We're going to reconcile. So if you would, please bear with me. If you close your eyes briefly. Close your eyes. No one looking around. This is an opportunity right now to remove all barriers. And so if you're not certain that you are a believer in Jesus Christ, I want to take care of that right now. And if you're online, God knows. If you're here, I would like for you to raise your hand and look me in the eye, and I can acknowledge if you want to take care of that, you want to receive Jesus Christ this morning. Let's remove that barrier. Okay, I see a hand. Anyone else? The Lord sees you online. All right, I want to invite all of you to pray this with me. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God, that you died on the cross to rescue me from sin and death, and to restore me to the Father. I choose now to turn from my sins, my self-centeredness, and every part of my life that does not please you. I choose you. I give myself to you. I receive your forgiveness and ask you to take your rightful place in my life as my Savior and Lord. Fill me with your love and your life. Restore me, Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you believe it, Jesus is your Savior. Barrier number one, check. All right, barrier number two, unforgiveness. That you're just going to have to deal with right now in these moments. I can't do it for you. But remind yourself of what Jesus has done in your life, and remind yourself that the only person that's in a prisoner when there's unforgiveness is you. It's quite likely the other person is not, so the only person you're hurting is yourself. Set yourself free. If you have coveted sin, repent. Be honest. We're going to have time to confess. Ask those questions. Peel back that onion. Get to a place where you understand, why am I doing this? What lie am I believing about God that I've got to stop? We're going to start this process of living free, and we're going to close with this. This will be our dwell time. But please don't leave yet. Yeah, you can go ahead. I'm just going to have Melissa play a little bit. Pat, she's gone through this process, so just to, hopefully we'll get it at a right place where we're not too distracting. I know there's a few of you that are antsy pants, and sometimes it's hard to stay for the next 5 minutes or so. Just want to ask you if you would, just to be, if you could stay just 5 more minutes. If you have to leave, I get it. It's understandable, but please, if you would, this might be the most important thing you've done in your life. It was for me. So this will be our dwell time, and at the end of it, we'll close, but I'll invite the elders up at the end, because if you still haven't heard from the Lord, and my hope and prayer is, and I've been praying a lot for it, that you will. Whether you choose to believe it is up to you, but you will hear from him. But if you have not, I want you to be able to speak to an elder. I'll make myself available as well. God is here. He wants to speak to you. So I'm going to walk you through a listening prayer exercise. If you can, if you have pen and paper, I probably should have asked that before you came here. Pen and paper, helpful. If you want to use your device to write something down, that's fine. But just what I'd like to ask is put yourself on the do not disturb. Get yourself so you're not distracted. And I also want to ask you, don't look at anyone else's paper. Allow what you're writing down to be just you, and allow whatever someone else is writing down to be just theirs, okay? So if you have pen and paper or your device ready, just for a moment, I would like you to close your eyes. We're going to go through the steps that we talk through, and I want to encourage you. This is what you can do at home following this process. We're going to imagine your favorite place. It's beautiful. Whatever that definition is in your mind, it's beautiful. It's peaceful. It's a place without fear, without worry, without shame, without guilt. It's full of love, peace, and joy. There is no evil there. There is no deception there. Now, once you have that place, imagine Jesus in this place. Imagine Jesus with you. Think about where he is. Is he sitting? Is he standing? Visualize him right there. Remember, we visualize Jesus. He is physical representation of an invisible God. And he wants to speak to you. And then we're going to ask the Lord this question. Lord, what is one place in my life where I continue to believe a lie? Lord, where is one place in my life where I continue to believe a lie? Once you've asked that question, begin writing it down. Any impression, any words, any thoughts that come to your mind, begin writing down. Don't hesitate. Don't think about it. Just start writing. Lord, what is the one place in my life where I continue to believe a lie? Allow the Lord to speak to you right now. He is speaking to you. He wants to speak to you. It may sound like your voice. Begin writing it down. I'll pause for a moment just to let some space be there for you to receive from the Lord right now. place in my life where I continue to believe a lie. Maybe it's that you're not enough. Maybe it's no one loves me. Maybe it's I'm worthless. This is where we've got to be honest. Confess before the Lord. Be brave. Be brave to write down. I know the struggle that goes on in us. I've been through it. You've got to be brave. Be honest with Him. Don't hold back. It's a lie. He knows it. He knows it. Just write it down. Maybe you need to continue to move through confession if you haven't received. Jesus generally will respond right away. For me, it's oftentimes the first things that come to my mind. And now that you have that written down, ask the Lord this question. Lord, what is one thing you want me to know or do about that? Lord, what is one thing you want me to know or do about that? And then write down whatever comes to your mind. Whatever is in your thought, write it down. Don't think about it. Don't debate it. Just write it down. Could be an image, could be an impression, could be a scripture, could be His voice in you. It sounds like you. Write it down. Even if it doesn't make sense, write it down. Allow yourself to receive from Him right now. Because He doesn't want you in that pit. He doesn't want you believing that lie. He wants to speak to you. I promise you. He wants to tell you He loves you. He wants to remind you of who you are in Him. If it brings joy, even if it sounds too good to be true, write it down. God's really in the business of doing things that sound too good to be true. It should bring life. And if it's like me, it'll bring a lot of tears potentially. For those who've received already, you've heard from Him. This is how confession and repentance works. This is how hearing God's voice works. And now we transform by beginning to walk in what He's spoken to you. If you found yourself unlovable, and He declares you are loved, walk in that love. No longer having this burden, the shackle of being less than somebody. You've got the Almighty God who loves you, who calls you His child, who wants to take away every burden, every fear, every worry, every guilt, every bit of shame. I'm going to close in a word of prayer. But if you haven't heard from the Lord, or if you want to speak to somebody about maybe what you're hearing, you're fine. I'm a true believer. But if you haven't heard from the Lord, would you talk to elders, if you would, make yourselves available on the left and the right here. I would They've gone through this process. And I would like for them to walk you through it. And I'm going to make myself available as well. Because I don't want you to miss this time. This is critical for us as believers to hear his voice, to receive the freedom that he wants to give you today. So if you've heard from him, this is how the process works. I want to invite you. Find a space every day, maybe it's multiple times a day, to go through this process. Make it be holy. Don't neglect it. He wants to encourage you. He wants to show you how to live. But if you have heard, and if you'd like to, you know, you've received from the Lord, that's great. You'll be dismissed here in a minute. But if you would, please be very quiet. Take your conversation outside. And then just kind of hang outside so you can just chat with people. But if you haven't, please come. Talk with an elder. Talk with me after I'm done praying. But when I'm done praying, we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that your truth is better than life. Your ways are righteous and true. Your desire is for us, not against us. And the very same God who desires through Jesus to wash our feet is willing to tell us that he loves us, that he's with us, and will not forsake us. He knows the struggles. But Father, I pray we would open our hearts and our minds to hear you, be transformed by you. We would go through confession, repentance in receiving from you, and then transformation as we begin living out what you speak to us every day, every day, every day. Seeking you, placing you first, finding rest in the midst of chaos. Because we can't follow you if we can't hear your voice. I pray, Lord, each one of us would make that time available. Thank you, Lord, what you will be speaking to us. And Lord, how you'll continue to speak through us. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Like I said, for those of you, if you want to continue in dwell time, that's great. If you're new, this is a time where we just begin to confirm what we've heard from the Lord. If you have to leave, no problem. You know, now is fine. Just take your conversation outside if you would. But if you would like prayer, if you'd like to walk through this step a bit deeper, come speak with one of us. We'll be available.